The swamp buffalo lifts its croup high, hops a little on its hocks. It tilts its head as though listening for something. Its mouth is open and unmoving. Bubbles of slag stand on the whiskers of its muzzle. It leans into its front knees. They tremble and buckle, plunging the anterior half of the animal completely under mud. For a moment, the protruding rump is an inchoate shaping from out the paddy, a half-monster of alluvium and clay. When the head splashes up, the two horns are loamed and oozing and blackly deformed. Within the hour, it is dead. A pink foam issues from its nostrils. By then, half the hamlet has arrived at the wallows, considering the carcass. It is their only buffalo, save the calf. And how will they plough the fields now? Who will drag coulter and share? Who will thresh the sheaves? How will they figure the least gradient for the new raised beds? Mostly they are looking at the bloated left hindquarters, the darker mottling around, wondering if the rest of the meat is safe. They are starving. None have eaten red meat for 10 years. Get it out of the water, someone says. 6 men scramble the carcass into a berm of rushes, but there is no hauling it onto the bank. They need a buffalo to pull the buffalo. Its asshole is exposed now. Everyone is watching the seep from it, the colour of livid mulberry. The sun drops. The water flares pewter. The calf. Late the next day, a doctor from a neighbouring capital squats in the stall, palpating its swollen thigh. Every press produces a crackling sound, as though underneath the skin is a layer of dry leaf kindling. The flesh hot as stone. He pulls the jaw open to check the tongue. The doctor is a frowning young man with damp lips, black rubber gloves over his hands. He has come with another grim-faced man, lean and aloof, to whom, in lieu of the crowd, he directs his comments. He is perturbed by the villagers' severe emaciation. Can you save it, doctor? You must save it, doctor. The doctor is not a doctor, but he has worked under an apprentice auxiliary veterinarian who was trained at the Pasteur Institute in Yajang, and this arouses expectations. He looks up at his companion, shakes his head. Blackleg, he says. There's no way. It'll be dead by tomorrow or day after. Amidst the silence, the hamlet chief smiles confusedly. Doctor, perhaps one more time, if you could examine. The doctor shakes his head again, peels off his gloves. Dig a hole in the lowest ground and burn it. The other one too. The spores will leach into the soil, the water. The calf stands almost jauntily with a lifted tail, looking out at nothing with big, stupid eyes. The peasants watch the doctor. Blackleg, rinderpest, sura, wireworm, barbone, necrosis of the tongue. The diseased animals of the northern delta, he has seen them all. Beasts already so overworked and malnourished they looked insectoid, sometimes living in their owners' cramped houses. Villages without feed or silage, villages underwater, sodding the grasses, rotting them. Heavy rains after drought that stir up spores that can lie dormant in the dirt for years. He has seen entire villages broken out in black anthrax ulcers, hurrying to discharge their bloody diarrhea back into their paddies. Peasants eating their defiled beasts, then eating their contaminated feed. What was it like to be driven to that? And this, the heartland of revolutionary potential. His eyes rest on a peasant girl, maybe 15, whose face is unusually wide and appealing. He stands beside the calf, calming it with her palms against its withers and dewlap. How many minutes was that?